Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Adam Ollier.
Hi, this is Adam Ollier. I'm the Director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, and I'm super excited to have another guest here and to be able to talk about how we do a great job of serving service members and their families here at MVAA. So thanks for tuning in and listening. If you want more info about us, you can go to our website at michigan.gov/MVAA or give us a call at 1-800-MICHVET. But today we have some folks on from Lyft, which is just an incredible company. They're doing incredible work down in Southwest Detroit. I've had the opportunity to tour and bump into a number of the folks. So really excited about being able to bring Joe on here, who'll introduce himself right after the break. All right, Joe from Lyft, do you want to tell us about, you know, introduce yourself, who you are, where you're from, and really kind of get it into the nuts and bolts of how Lyft got started? It's a really interesting story that I wasn't expecting when I went into your facility for the first time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, and thank you very much for your willingness to talk about one of our most important programs. But I'm Joe Steele. I'm the Vice President of Communications and Legislative Affairs here with Lyft. Lyft is based in Detroit. We are a Michigan-based, Detroit-based nonprofit, 501c3 and public-private partnership. We are a national manufacturing innovation institute. We are partnered and supported by the Department of Defense. So we are a Department of Defense Manufacturing Innovation Institute. And what we do in Detroit out of our facility is we do two things. We drive American advanced manufacturing into the future through technology and talent development. So we're tasked with moving technology ideas forward from concept and idea into prototype and towards commercialization on behalf of the industrial base and to support the warfighter. But we're also tasked on the talent side with making sure the talent pipeline into advanced manufacturing is healthy and robust across the nation. So it sounds like a lot of things that we do, but it is. It's a big challenge, and we're up to it. So we are one of 16 of these National Manufacturing Innovation Institutes around the country. We are headquartered in the Corktown neighborhood. We're very proud to call Detroit our home, very proud to call Michigan our home, and we're very excited to do everything we want to do first and have Michigan lead the way here out of Detroit.
Awesome. So, Joe, when you talk about being one of these manufacturing hubs, can you tell folks a little bit about what it's like walking into the building? Because, you know, when you drive past, you're like, oh, it's just another building. I bet they sell random stuff. But when you go in, stuff is actually being innovated on, right? Like, it's not a big production space, but there are a lot of things that people are kind of trying to figure out. I know I got a chance to see some of the work that the students were doing around building a vehicle and some of the things that are being prototyped. So can you talk to them a little bit about the difference between that innovation component versus, hey, this is a factory where you build a bunch of stuff?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So as a nonprofit membership-based organization, we can't compete. We don't want to compete with our industry members. What we want to do is help them. So we're a public-private partnership between industry, academia, and government, really connecting all three to, as I said before, move these ideas into commercialization. So our facility is on Rosa Parks Boulevard, right in the heart of Corktown. If you drive past, as the director said, you may just drive past and not think twice. But as you enter the facility, it's 100,000 square feet of innovation space. And that includes, you know, $50 million worth of manufacturing equipment that our technicians and engineers are working with each and every day to focus on materials research and manufacturing process and systems engineering to understand the materials we need to make the things we need in the future. Think of things like hypersonics, think of things like lightweight armor. All those kinds of systems need material scientists behind them to understand that the materials are fit for purpose at the end of the day. So we are studying all of that at our facility. So believe it or not, yes, hypersonics work that people see in the news and hear about in the news, that research is happening right here in Corktown. And above that, in the upstairs, is our Lyft Learning Lab, where we bring students in and teachers in each and every day to see what advanced manufacturing looks like in 2023. Look at the new processes, learn about the new materials, hopefully light a spark in these students so they can move into advanced manufacturing as a career choice. And then we also offer for our adult learners, folks who may need a new skill, folks who may be unemployed, underemployed, or just need a new chance, is to become certified in some of the most in-demand advanced manufacturing jobs available right now, things like welding, CNC machining, industrial technology maintenance, robotics. So we're offering that for our adult learners right out of our Cork Town. So there's a lot going on Rosa Parks Boulevard each and every day. So we've been around in that facility since 2015, and I'm glad you had the chance to tour. Folks can walk through our facility via virtual tour on our website, or just, you know, send us an email. We'll be happy to show you around.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for people to understand that this is a pathway to do manufacturing that requires education, but you guys are teaching folks how to do it, and it may not be the traditional kind of education that people are thinking about, right? Because there's work that requires a college degree, but there's a lot of work that just require a number of individual certifications that you partner with a variety of organizations and entities that, you know, are equivalent time, right? So it's not saying, hey, you don't get those skills, but you may be a computer programmer that has done 4, 5, 6 years of technical training in those things that allows you to work the robotics or things that someone with just a traditional college education would not be able to do, but is critical to the work that you do, right?
Yeah, I mean, advanced manufacturing is sophisticated, and that's what we want to give people a chance to take a look at. But to your point, it may not require a college degree, but some sort of training after high school so they can, have those certifications in place and be ready to move on and step into those jobs as a career. And that's what we want to expose folks to down at the high school level with a program called Ignite Mastering Manufacturing, which is a 3-year high school curriculum we offer that's rolling out around the country. We launched it here in Michigan, launched it here in Detroit, out of our learning lab in our facility, and then all the way up through our adult learners. Give people an opportunity to see what advanced manufacturing is these days, and the fact that they can go earn one of the certifications in a couple of months and begin their careers.
I'm super, like, that's such a cool thing that you have this learning capacity for both high school students, but adult learners, right? Too often we talk about programming that is available for one or the other population, but to be able to do all of that in one spot in the city of Detroit, in a place that's accessible, is really important. And I think something that I look forward to talking a little bit more about when we get back from the break. Now, Joe, right before the break, you were talking a little bit about the Learning Lab. Can you tell folks how they get engaged with the Learning Lab, how as an individual I can go get my kid in, or as an adult, how I can participate? How do you get involved with Lift There?
A couple of different ways. The first is, I mentioned the high school program. That's our 3-year Ignite Mastering Manufacturing curriculum. That is basically run not in, with individual students, but classes can come in and participate in our learning lab. So it's kind of done at the school level. And we invite schools into our learning lab. They come in, you know, a couple of days a week and participate in our lab, hands-on and virtual learning to learn all kinds of avenues of manufacturing, whether it's, you know, electronics, whether it's pneumatics, whether it's robotics, hydraulics, things like that, to get their hands on and understand what it is. But meanwhile, our technicians and engineers and our ecosystem members are down on the high bay floor working on the big machines, right? Working on the things I mentioned before, whether it's, you know, new technologies like wire arc additive manufacturing or laser beam powder bed fusion manufacturing, or, you know, the extruding a new kind of metal. So they get to learn by osmosis at our learning lab as well. I encourage you to give us a call, visit our website at lift.technology, and we'd be happy to set up a tour if you're interested of the lab. But on the learning side, on the adult side, we have a couple of different programs actually still around welding and CNC, industrial technology maintenance, and robotics. Those are the four majors we provide, but we offer that to a wide variety of adult populations, whether they be, you know, low to moderate income folks in Wayne County. We offer that right now through the MEDC and Wayne County. So we're running that out of our facility. But then we also provide opportunities for our service members, which is which I know we want to talk about here today through our Operation Next program. And that is designed for active duty service members who are on their way to separating from the military and beginning their civilian careers, to Guard and Reserve members who may be interested in gaining a new skill or starting a new career, or their immediate families who may be underemployed, unemployed, or looking for that same skill as well. And we recently opened it up to veterans. We know the veteran population, which I know is near and dear to your heart and the folks listening. Too often our veterans, you see that unemployment and underemployment rate far too high for that population. These are folks that have served our nation so bravely and so well, and we want to make sure they have an opportunity to begin their advanced manufacturing careers, especially as a Department of Defense Manufacturing Innovation Institute. Those folks are near and dear to our heart as well, and we want to make sure we provide them an opportunity. And we know that these careers, these jobs are available right now today in Detroit, in Michigan, and across the nation. Folks may have heard about the skills gap that exists, 2.4 million jobs in advanced manufacturing expected to go unfilled over the next several years because just not enough people moving into advanced manufacturing. Combine that with the folks that are retiring, combine that with folks deciding, maybe they didn't want to go back to work after the pandemic. All these things coming together to create this this skills gap, and we're trying to do what we can to provide opportunities free of charge. By the way, tuition is free of charge for all of these programs I mentioned to gain one of these skills right now. And these are reputable, industry recognized, nationally portable credentials that folks will walk away with from organizations like the American Welding Society or the National Institute of Metalworking Skills. So folks will be able to get one of these jobs right away.
That's super exciting because I know I was kind of the tail end of the generation of like, go to college. And I think there in between that was a, hey, we need all of these skills and these professional vocations, right? Like the skilled trades has become a big thing. I think the cool thing about what you're talking about doing is that kind of combination of the two of, hey, we want you to get these advanced manufacturing skills, these vocations and licenses and things like that. And it provides you that maybe first step towards moving into a space where you're able to innovate and create and to start your own thing or be a part of the manufacturing process as people are starting to innovate and create again here in Michigan, because those are the people who were the most successful were the ones who innovated and created a new thing, not just the people who go work for that person.
Right. You're exactly right. I mean, we've seen our students do take any number of paths, right? We've seen students come in and earn their credential, earn their certification, move right on into the workforce. We've seen folks go ahead and move on to a university to study, welding engineering, for example, or something like that, and wanted to continue their education. So it is exactly what you said. It is a pathway to an advanced manufacturing career. Which path they choose is up to them, but we want to provide them the opportunity to get started and let them know what is available that is out there. Because as a Manufacturing Innovation Institute, we know that the national economy rests on manufacturing, what needs to be made here. We know that our national security rests on our manufacturing base. The warfighter can't use it unless it's made here. So we want to make sure that folks are making things in this country and provide opportunity. But we can't do that without the workers. So we need the workforce to be able to make these items, particularly those as we look forward beyond the four majors that we offer into things that we need to make in the future. So prepare the workforce for the future as well. So it's a big challenge, but we're excited to be a part of it. We've got 340 some members around the nation that industrial partners, academic partners that we work with. We work very closely with our partners at the Department of Defense. We work very closely with our friends at the Department of Commerce and Department of Education as well. But it takes all of us to move the needle here and create those opportunities to build a stronger manufacturing workforce.
Awesome. Well, that is going to be really great. And there's a lot of carryover between the advanced manufacturing for DoD related things that are going to move over into the civilian world as we think about all the R&D that the military has made happen. I always chuckle when you think about things like Tang and you're like, the Army's, you know, the Navy spent or the Air Force or NASA spent millions and millions and millions of dollars to figure out Tang. Or, you know, they were talking about how they spent all this time trying to figure out a way to make a pen that would write in zero gravity. Mm. And somebody's like, you know, they could have just used a pencil here. Right. So it's those kind of moments where you're like, somebody is thinking through a really complicated problem. And sometimes they're very complicated solutions. Sometimes they're a lot more simple solutions. And when I was there, I got a chance to see some of the elegance of the simple designs that the students were making as they were building their cars and, you know, stripping them down. And they had their much more complicated idea. And then they pushed back into the more simple thing. And we're talking about how a lot of the program was teaching them these kind of processes. Mm-hmm. Can you talk just a little bit about how folks get into, or, you know, like if I was a principal, how do I get involved? How do I get my students involved in that school? Do they reach out to you? Who do they reach out to?
They could reach out to me. They could reach out to just, you know, call our office, and our talent development team will certainly be able to get them involved, bring them to the facility, show them what the Ignite Mastering Manufacturing curriculum is all about, how they might be able to take that to their school. This is a program, by the way, that we, you know, we do run it here at LIFT, but as a National Manufacturing Innovation Institute, our mission is national. So we start things here. We want Michigan to be the first mover on everything, but we are mandated to and chartered to impact across the nation. So what we start here, we want to roll out around the nation. So Ignite, for example, is available in about 14 states now, about 3,500 students each day participating in it. And so it's not solely limited to our four walls here in Corktown. But it is available we can work with anybody around the nation to roll it out to their schools and their students, so we can have that impact beyond just our neighborhood in Detroit.
Awesome. Well, Joe, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Adam Ollier.
Joe, so we've talked a lot about some of the programming that you do. Can we get a little bit into some of the successes that you've had here in Michigan? I'd love to just, you know, be able to highlight a Michigan-based company as people think about Michigan during World War II. They're like, the arsenal of democracy runs through Michigan. You know, you have TACOM, you have these kind of historical moments, but I don't think there's a lot of discussion, maybe outside of Macomb County, about the impact that DoD has in Michigan and our economy and how we're able to leverage that going forward.
Yeah, that's a great question. And as I mentioned, as a National Manufacturing Innovation Institute, one of the Department of Defense Manufacturing Innovation Institutes, we are trying to bring that that success, obviously, to Michigan. First, as I mentioned, some of the hypersonics work that we've been able to start, materials development and thermal management of hypersonics materials, basically looking at these materials on the virtual side of things, playing with them in the virtual space, and better understanding how these materials will react to a given process, to understand how they'll react, and making sure they're fit for purpose so they can go 5,000 miles an hour and get to where they need to get to. No one was working on hypersonics in Michigan until we started to a couple of years ago. And that's thanks to our congressional delegation, Senators Peters and Senators Stabenow, Congresswoman Stevens, Congresswoman Slotkin, Congressman Mitchell, when he was still with us, helped us really get this ball rolling in terms of bringing hypersonics work to Michigan. Like I said, I don't think anyone was working on that until we brought it here. And actually, we've been working with one of our top Michigan partners, both on the talent side and technology side related to hypersonics is Michigan Tech. So all the way up to the northern part of the UP, as far as you can go in Michigan, we have great partners up there that we've been working with on our hypersonics materials work, on our materials development work in general. They have brought their Mind Trekkers student-led activities to us for a day-long session with a couple of Detroit high schools where they brought hands-on activities, STEM-related activities for our Detroit students to participate in, and the Detroit students actually beat the college students. So that was pretty awesome to see. So so we got great success with Michigan Tech. Really, of our national ecosystem, we've got folks like Hexagon, one of the world's largest measurement sciences companies that has a facility over in Novi, Michigan. They're one of our highest level partners, and we're working with them on better understanding these new materials and how do we really measure them as we create new materials. How do we work with them in the virtual space? Siemens obviously is a global company, but they've got facilities across Michigan and are installing a digitalization facility here in our Detroit headquarters. So people can take a look at what the future of advanced manufacturing looks like. So we've got partners, global partners that are in Michigan and companies that are in Michigan that we've had successes with. I'll point out another success that we had with a smaller company here in Michigan that was specific to the DoD. It was Ricardo Defense. They had a analog brake system, electronic stability control system that they were working on for Humvees. And you know, these Humvees unfortunately don't come equipped with those safety components.
They don't come equipped with a lot of
exactly.
They're like, I don't know how this thing is so big and so expensive, but has no space for anything in the entire world.
Right.
That's the fact of somebody who has to ride in a armored vehicle. I was out at with General Motors as they were talking about some of the bidding and the processes that they were working on for the next generation of vehicle, hoping that they win and you know, those kind of things. But I think we forget how much stuff we figure out on one side and are sharing with the other side.
Right. Right. So we worked, Ricardo had this kit to be able to put these on Humvees. And so we worked with them to finish it, kind of optimize it, get it ready to go. We retrofitted these kits onto some Michigan National Guard Humvees to prove that they would work. And the National Highway Safety Administration said this kit would reduce rollovers by 74%, because too often, as you know, unfortunately, our service members were being injured and killed, sometimes at low speeds with these vehicles because they didn't have those kits. So we worked with that to get that kit onto some Michigan National Guard Humvees to prove it out. Lo and behold, 3 years later, because you know, we as a National Manufacturing Innovation Institute nonprofit, as I said, we have to give these technologies back to industry so they can go commercialize them. 3 years later, they went ahead and got a $90 million contract with the DoD to put these kits on 10,000 Humvees around the world. And I think it's grown since then. So, you know, a little bit of support from us financially, from our funding from the Department of Defense to invest in technologies like that is having a major impact in saving warfighter lives. We have another story with a company, some really small company, maybe 3-4 people, called Lifeline Fire Hose, which is, to your point, one of these ideas that it's like, how has someone never thought of this before? Which was providing an opportunity for firefighters to have breathable air delivered to them through the same hose they're fighting, they're spraying water at to douse the fire. So we worked with them on designing their couplers to put these hoses together. So one section would have the water go through it, one section would have air go through it. It would essentially create a longer term breathability for these firefighters. They can stay out there longer, be safer, and get these fires out sooner. And so they've been working and selling these products to fire houses across the nation as well. So that's like, wow, man, no one's really thought about that before, but it was something that came to us, and we used our, you know, engineering skills and our machining skills and our manufacturing skills to get these prototypes and things, you know, designed and prepped and ready so they can go ahead and take it out to the world and help save some lives.
Now, Joe, it's funny that you mentioned that, because my dad was a short firefighter and I was a volunteer firefighter. My brother was a firefighter.
Oh, and thank you. I think thank you to them.
When you talk about the need for something like that, most people don't realize how long your tank works. So if anyone's ever been scuba diving, the only difference between a scuba tank and the SCBA that someone goes into a fire with is that a firefighter's tank doesn't go underwater. But it lasts for about the same amount of time, right? So you're talking about 30 minutes, you know, if you're in really, really good shape and breathing, you know, relatively shallow, maybe you get 40 minutes out of it, but that's not a lot of time to get in and out of a burning structure when you're working really hard. So those are the kind of innovations that not only save lives, but change people's lives fundamentally on being able to put a fire down quicker with, you know, and safer. So I really think that that's a cool addition and could provide, you know, a lot of different, you know, opportunities for people as we talk about some of those other spaces. You know, you look forward into some of these bigger oil spills or some of these other big challenges that you're seeing across the country where that's an important request. I mean, that could really be impactful. I mean, even for soldiers as they deal with, you know, chemical warfare issues or something like that, having a oxygen line that could move and work. So kudos to you on being able to help them upskill their work and processes.
Yeah, that again, our mission is to take these technologies and help advance them towards commercialization so they can go ahead and get them out into the market and have the impact that they're designed to have. You know, our focus is on materials and manufacturing process. How can we make these things in the future? Some of the other, our sister, you know, cousin institutes across the country focus on different areas, whether it be advanced additive manufacturing or robotics or flexible hybrid electronics or fabrics or, you know, additively manufacturing, you know, tissues. They can do things like that, but that's in our wheelhouse, and it's just an example of a small Michigan-based based company that came to us and said, hey, you know, can you help us get these things ready to go, and we did.
Cool. Well, Joe, we'll take one last break and then we'll be right back to kind of close this thing out.